What?
Hey, you guys.
Great.
Picture this, two guys trapped in the South Charleston Public Library. One guy loves movies, the other, well, he'd rather be watching reality TV. Can they survive each other's films? Find out on Real Opposites, a library podcast about movies, hosted by Josh and Aaron from the South Charleston Public Library.
Welcome back to Real Opposites. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Josh.
And we're back to discuss our movies that we picked for each other last time, Hellfest and Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
So I guess we'll start with Hellfest.
Yeah.
That's what I chose for you. 2018 movie. I don't know that the people's real famous.
No, nobody's famous.
There is Bex Taylor Claus. I'm a big fan of theirs, so I do like them. That's the only name I know in the movie.
So why did you choose this for me?
Well, I think it's kind of like a fun horror movie. You get jump scares. You get just like the creepiness factor. It's not very serious or anything. It's just kind of cheesy and fun. I don't know. I think sometimes that's...
Yeah, man.
Fine to watch.
That's fine, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's really
that's
it.
That's about it.
I like it. I mean, I like some of the deaths and things like that. So.
It was there.
Yeah.
And like I said, it feels like a CW horror movie, like an episode of just a slightly more violent episode of, like, you know, some random CW show, like Halloween special.
Right.
Complete with, like, people you'd see on the CW.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It was okay. It was just... There's nothing particularly memorable. It's a good idea. Like, you know.
Right.
And I like that part of it. Like, the guy is just a guy.
Yeah.
I like the little bit at the end. He just, like, goes home to his kid.
Yeah.
It's just some dude that was just, like, murdered a bunch of people and terrorizing.
It gives it a creepy factor.
Yeah. I like that. That was a nice little touch.
And he takes the toy home to his daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
That he steals from one of the people he kills.
Yeah.
So it's like... There's a little bit of creepy factor. And I think that's one thing I do like about this movie is there's no saying it couldn't happen.
Yeah, but the premise.
It is just a guy. So Hellfest is a festival of some sort that goes town to town.
Yeah, it's just like this enormous, like, haunted house carnival thing. Yeah.
So, and it's just he had killed at a previous time a couple years ago, supposedly. And then he just shows up. But he also dresses up as some of the actors do with the same mask and stuff. So I don't know. There's that real factor. And sometimes that's fun. I think it makes it creepy that it definitely could happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the best part about the movie is the actual festival. Like the Hellfest and the haunted house stuff. That was cool. It's one of those, I mean, they're pretty common, like, kind of slasher movies where there's nothing particularly, like, inventive or memorable about any, like, none of the deaths really struck me or, like, characters.
It's not even the needle into the eye.
I mean, I've seen that.
I know, but that might be on the level of, like, fingernails for me.
Yeah. Eye stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Needles and eyes.
Because you're watching that needle come right at you.
You ever see, which I'm sure you haven't, Zombie, the Italian sequel to the original Dawn of the Dead? There's a...
Oh, I've not seen that.
So the thing about Italian horror movies, it's a different sensibility. So they go, like, where American movie would stop at a certain point with, like, you know, a stabbing or something like that. They hold the shot longer. So there's a shot where they're pushing, like, this large, sharp piece of wood through this woman's eye. Mm-hmm. It's very... you would hate it.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, it doesn't hold back. I don't know why I'm talking about that. But...
What were we talking about?
But stuff like... You know, it's okay. It's just not particularly, like... I don't know. Nothing really struck me about it.
Yeah.
Movie. And it's just, like, your typical kind of, like, teenage characters or college-age characters or whatever.
I mean, that's true. And there was, I don't think I have it on here, but I guess there was another film that was released the same year called Bloodfest, and it was kind of the same premise.
I think I actually saw
Blood something.
I, like, vaguely remember seeing a trailer for something like this. It's like a guy in Vince, like he was in, like, some rave club.
Oh, okay.
It was a similar kind of premise. There's, like, a guy in a club or, like, in a public area just
and there's been murdering. Other movies before this. There was, I forget the name of it, I didn't print it out, but there's one that they said it kind of followed the same kind of plot, but it was an older movie.
Funhouse.
Maybe, yes.
It has to be. It has to be Funhouse. Toby Hooper's Funhouse.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Fantastic film.
American Fright Fest came out in 2018 and was the same. Oh, okay. Exact same premises.
Well, they also mentioned something, a blood something. I don't know.
You should watch Funhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Toby Hooper who did. So, he did Texas Chainsaw and Poltergeist.
Oh, okay.
It's like, it's a lot of fun. It's like, it kind of gets manic, like the original Texas Chainsaw to a certain degree.
Okay.
And it's a similar premise. Like, these kids just go to this carnival, mm-hmm. and they kind of stay overnight, and they're kind of stuck in the haunted house section. And like, there's this like incestuous family, nice. like Texas Chainsaw a little bit. And yeah. it's a lot of fun. It's really, the early 80s.
I like stuff like that.
Oh, sorry. Real quick, I'm going to jump in. But speaking of incestuous families, did you guys notice Dr. Satan?
Oh, yeah. Is he like on the TV or something?
One of the actors in the thing is dressed up as Dr. Satan from House of a Thousand Corpses. Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing that. So
there are a couple of neat things about, like, one of the masks when at the end when he goes and he hangs up his mask and it's clear he's done it multiple times. He has different masks.
Yeah.
One of those is a nod to the Faces in the Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, that's a great episode.
While we're on the subject of the mask, Tony Gardner is the one that created the mask for The Other, which is the name of the killer. Mm-hmm. He is also the designer of Ghostface for Scream.
Okay.
Babyface from Happy Death Day.
I love those movies.
He does all kinds of makeup and masks. He had his own mask company, which is where Ghostface came from.
That's cool.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. The mask is really cool. I like it's kind of like, it looks like skin, like something like.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was neat.
Leatherface kind of deal.
You said something in the beginning about the environment itself was kind of neat.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the best character in the movie.
Well, the decorations used on the set were from Six Flags Over George's Fright Fest. And also many of the characters that are walking around, like that are scaring people.
Like real performers.
From Netherworld Haunted House in Georgia, which is one of the top 10 haunted attractions in the USA.
That's really cool.
So that's why a lot of the extras and stuff, they were really cool extras.
I mean, they would have to use some sort of a real location, like a carnival or like something like that, because that would be way too expensive for this movie to build. So that makes sense that they would use that.
So a lot of their stuff came from there.
Yeah.
It didn't say it was filmed there or anything, but those two places provided a lot of the background and stuff, which I thought was pretty cool.
That's really cool. Are both of those in Georgia?
Yeah,
They probably shot it in Georgia, so.
Yeah, yeah, but there was a couple of neat things. I know, like I said, I think it's just a fun movie, but I also like movies like this that could happen. I think adds a scare factor.
I remember going to the Moundsville prison, mm-hmm. and they do, like, you can stay overnight. And I always thought, like, if you really wanted to kill people, you'd be locked into a prison.
Right.
If you were wanting to be a serial killer and up your numbers real fast.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you never know.
Yeah,
And that's
what I was like. I don't think I'm going to do this. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to stay overnight.
I would like to stay overnight. I've never been there. Another movie, did you ever see Dark Ride? It was one of the 2006 release of the Fright Fest movies they release.
I haven't seen that, no.
It was kind of the same concept. They're stuck in a horror park.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Yeah.
But there were also homages that went back to Dark Ride from this one as well.
Okay.
Including like one of the female victims' previous murders was mm-hmm. one of them.
Okay.
And like some of the decorations and things like that.
I would.
Haunt is the same movie. Came out like in 2019, like after this.
So it sounds like if I like this movie,
there's a lot of other movies
you should watch. I would say Funhouse is like the original, mm-hmm. the originator of this
I've seen Dark Ride. Yeah. I really liked it.
We do have Funhouse in the collection.
Okay. So maybe I'll check that out. Yeah,
it's fun.
I don't know. I just think it's a fun movie.
I mean, I get it.
It goes along with some of the cheesy movies I've had you watch.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like...
I like a little fun with my murder.
It is what it is. As I've said. And it's like, you know, it doesn't reinvent the wheel, but it's all right.
Yeah.
It's watchable.
Well, it's not horrible.
I watched it.
Yeah.
I don't remember much of it because it was just like, I don't know. Nothing really particularly struck me about it.
Yeah.
Wait. What about, there's a cameo. There's lots of cameos of a really famous horror star movie. Did you know? Nope. Don't look. What? No cheating. You should have recognized him. Candyman.
I was getting ready to say yeah. Tony Todd. I was getting ready to say Tony Todd because I was like, I think I saw Tony Todd in the movie.
He's the barker, and he's all of the voices for the rides.
That's right, yeah.
Well, if it's Tony Todd, that's the voices for the rides. He also did the voice for Final Destination 3 for the amusement park then, too.
Yeah, well, he's in the first movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
He's in the first one, and I think he's in the... Is he in all of them?
Is he the one that gets drugged
He's the coroner.
Oh, okay.
That they go to, like, and he explains that.
That's
like,
why he looks
like,
so familiar. He was the host when Bex gets their head
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, I remember him now. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
He's the host, but he did
because
all...
Because when I saw that scene, I was like, man, why do I know this person?
Yeah.
He did all the voices for the rides.
Okay.
He's the Candyman. He's also in...
Night of the Living Dead remake is amazing.
I think I've seen that.
It's so good. I mean, the original is a classic or whatever, but...
Is Night of the Living Dead when it rains?
No, that's Return of the Living Dead.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Awesome. I get all the Living Dead.
Which is amazing. That's my favorite zombie movie is Return of the Living Dead. But
I did think, which I didn't notice before, and I guess reading it some today or whatever... there was a lot of, like, throwbacks to other horror movies, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
People involved that are throwbacks as well.
I mean, it's definitely made by people that like horror movies.
Yeah.
Like, that have an affinity for it. You know?
Right. So, I don't like haunted houses.
Okay.
Not fake ones. I'll go into a real one. That's fine. But I will not. I don't like them.
I don't like
to be jump scared. You guys do it plenty at work. I just don't need it outside of work.
By that, he means we walk into a room that he's in.
Yes.
Not in a sneaky manner.
So, and then as far as decorations, I decorate like haunted houses do. So that doesn't scare me. And I just don't see paying money to go walk through something where people are just going to jump out and scare me when I do it on a daily. But I think that ties into why I like this movie. Because when I watched it last night, I thought some parts were intense, and I think it's specifically because they were waiting on a jump scare, so it made me nervous about a jump scare.
Okay, yeah.
So I think that is also maybe why I like this, because it does something for me that other scary movies don't.
Yeah.
Because I just don't, I don't like that kind of scare anyways.
There are some good moments. Like, I liked kind of early, it might be the first kill when there's like a group of them, and there's a couple girls, and there's... He stabs the one girl in front of the other ones. And they're just like, ha, ha, ha. And they're just like, wait.
Yeah.
But then they just like kind of walk on.
And the one stays. And and he's like holding the knife, like taunting. And she's like, just do it. Because she thinks it's fake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's a little intense.
Yeah. That was probably the most memorable kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Because it was like, it had like a basis in reality. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you really went to a haunted house, like, how do you know what's real, you know, what's really happening?
Yeah.
You could very easily kill someone and make it think it was just part of the attraction.
Right. And that does carry, and that's what I said about it being just a real person in a possible situation, because it carries throughout the whole movie, because they even try to get the security guard involved, and they're like, hey, this is not normal.
Yeah.
And he's like, they touched you. They're allowed to touch you, because they've signed a waiver for that part to be touched. And he's like, unless, like, they... injured you, I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And this guy, it could be anybody.
It's good that they like worked the real world stipulations about those things into the script. So that was pretty smart. Well done.
I think that's another thing I like, is I do think parts of it that is smart about it.
Mm-hmm. It's just like...
But it's very fun. It's very cheesy and fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely cheesy, and there's some really horrendous acting at the start, especially like before they get to the... It's like... It's like Neil Breen level, almost.
I don't know who that is.
Most people don't. He's this guy that self-finances his own movies.
Oh, that's probably...
And they are... Bad. Wow.
Well, they're self-financed.
Is it Sherry Moon Zombie Band?
Oh, no. Sherry Moon Zombie is like Meryl Streep compared to this.
Oh, wow. I feel like she's
compared to the
awful.
Neil Breen. Compared to the Neil Breen. I mean, yeah, everyone here is kind of on that level of Sherry Moon Zombie, I guess.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I do really.
But it's
like,
okay for what it is, like, you know.
Yeah.
It, you know, for a cheap horror movie, it's
like I said. I mean, I didn't know any of the other actors other than Bex. They're in the Scream TV series, and I don't know if you've ever watched Netflix's The Killing. It's really good.
No, I haven't.
They're in that. So you didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it. I mean, I'm not going to give it a like high rating or anything. Yeah.
I mean,
I'll give like 2 out of 5.
So, okay. Well, that's not horrible, I guess.
I mean, it's like, yeah, I watched
it.
It's
not half either, though.
It's not half, no. It's a failing grade, but, you know.
I watched it when it came out, and I really liked it. And then I'm trying to find horror movies for you, and it's really hard to do. It was on a list of, like, 20 underrated movies or something. And I was like, oh, maybe it's better than I thought it was.
Yeah, I mean, like, your best...
I mean, I like it a lot.
Your best bet for finding horror movies I haven't seen is basically just the last 10 to 15 years.
Oh, okay.
So I don't watch a whole... Like, I don't know, there's... It just seems like there's been, the last 15, 20 years, there's just been so many horror movies, and so many of them.
But no new idea. There's what?
So many of them are just terrible. Yeah. I mean, they've always been, there's always been a lot of terrible movies, but like, I don't know, there seems exorbitantly more bad horror movies.
So what's the best horror movie that has come out in the last 5 years?
Last 5 years? Hereditary's up there.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to rewatch that because I hated it.
I loved it. See, I love Hereditary, but I did not like Midsommar.
I didn't even watch it because I hated Hereditary so much. It might be the people I was watching the movie with, because they weren't understanding any of it, which made me have to try to explain parts, yeah, which made me miss parts. So I think it is something worth rewatching. I mean, the girl getting her head knocked off was great. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, that was like really, that part was really, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like it was
just like, oh,
but I love, I mean, that film in particular. I mean, I can't really think of another. I was going to say like Don't Breathe, but I think that was 2016. I love that movie. But
which one's Don't Breathe?
Don't Breathe is the one with Jane Levy where they sneak into the
old man's house.
The old man's house who's blind.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I watched that.
Yeah.
I watched it, loved it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And then I went and seen the second one.
You went and seen the second one?
I went and seen the second one. I went to the movies to view the second one and I hated it.
It's okay. I mean, yeah.
I thought the acting was horrible in it.
It's not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Hereditary because, like, I don't know, that movie is so, it's so carefully designed and planned and really beautiful to look at. And, like, the performances are amazing. Toni Collette, like, it's really a shame they don't seriously consider genre movies for Oscars because she was amazing in that movie. X was really good. I did like X a lot.
I haven't seen that.
If you count it, the new Marilyn Monroe movie, Blonde, it's very much a horror movie to a certain extent.
That's what that's my problem. I can't even think of any of that.
The Lighthouse.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, either. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. The Light. Yeah. Yeah. That's a horror movie. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like Eldritch horror. It's a little bit.
Yeah, man. Overlord. I liked Overlord a lot.
I liked Midsommar. I mean, it's slow, but there was something in Midsommar, like about the endless days, that was deeply unsettling.
Yeah, that's the. That's what I like about Ari Aster, who did Hereditary, Midsommar. You can tell there's a lot of thought that goes into what he's trying to achieve and how he's trying to make you unsettled.
Yeah, and I think, like, similarly, when there are acts of great violence, he just lets them hang.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing.
Yeah, he doesn't cut away.
He doesn't cut away. Yeah. He just leaves, like, the girl getting her head knocked off. He just lets it sit.
Yeah, and it's sudden, but it just, and it's still afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Like the same with, or whatever it is in Midsommar, where they throw the old people from the cliff.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is time for them to die.
Yeah.
And it's an honorable death. And it's like, they just splatter on the rocks, and the camera just stays on it. And the, like, it's just like this really, like, silent, and then just this really tranquil music. Mm. You can see the characters who this isn't their culture, like, freaking out.
What about that Annihilation you were talking about? You said that was decent.
It's not really, like, horror, though. It's more... Okay.
This place it goes more it sci-fi.
I'm going to... So, outside of Hereditary, it's a good movie. Annihilation's very good. I'm actually going to pick Mother, Darren Aronofsky's film. It's kind of a horror fable, and it's probably... I can't think of another movie that was that intense, that just spirals out of control. And really, genuinely, was kind of like shocking to me. Like, it was really a fantastic film. I love Aronofsky, so and his whole movies have like a musical quality about them. So they always there's always like it's like a movement in a symphony. And that one, like, you get to the end and it goes nuts. Yeah, that would be my pick. That and Hereditary, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking at this list of like horror movies, or what these people consider horror movies, in the past 5 years, and I haven't seen a lot of them. But I mean, there's a couple, like the new Halloweens. They were good.
Yeah, I mean, I love the new Halloween.
The new It, I liked it.
Yeah, Crawl.
Ready or Not. yes, you have me watch that, and I did not like it. Us, I liked Us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Get Out. Get Out was 2015 or 2016. Mm-hmm. That was a little bit.
Yeah, cool. Us falls in. It's 2019, I think.
Yeah. Nope was pretty good.
I've not seen it yet.
It was good.
I wanted to see that, and then I totally forgot.
Yeah.
What was the movie? So it wasn't Ready or Not. Ready or Not's when she's getting married. What was the one where they... It was kind of like the Surviving the Game movie back in the day where they brought people to hunt them.
Called The Hunt?
Is that what it's called?
It's called The Hunt. The Hunt. Betty Gilpin.
Yeah, I liked that because some of the deaths were surprising.
I love her.
Yeah, because they kill...
Emma Roberts is in it.
Yeah, and they kill... Who do they kill right up front?
It was Emma Roberts.
Is it Emma Roberts?
Yeah.
They kill like Emma Roberts and like, I think, Justin Hartley.
Yeah.
Like right out of the gate. The two most famous people aside from Betty Gilpin.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that. And I like when you don't know what's going to happen like that. Yeah. So, because I thought from the previews and everything of that movie, I thought Emma Roberts was like one of the main stars.
Yeah.
I love that whole scene where they keep giving you basically like, this is going to be the main character.
Yeah.
And then they get murdered. This is going to be the main character. And then they get murdered.
Right.
And then it comes down to the Debbie Gilpin playing like a pretty unlikable character. Like she's super cold and aloof, but man, she kills it.
Really? That's a Malignant. And and Last Night in Soho. Those count. I'm going to say Last Night in Soho is my favorite.
Yeah, I saw that just now on the list. And I was going to ask you because I still haven't seen that.
Yeah,
I
need to watch that.
It's really great.
I need to watch
it. I like it more each time I watch it.
Yeah. That's one I was like dying to see.
That's one we're not going to spoil, so we can't talk about it.
Yeah, we can't talk about it because I do want to see it. Because it was one of those, I might have seen the trailer on the last Halloween movie, maybe, when I went to the theaters to see it.
Yeah, probably.
Or one of the Scream movies. Something like that. But it was one of those movies when I saw the trailer, it's like, I have to see that. Like, it was, even the trailer was so
interesting. It was a great trailer.
Yeah.
Great movie.
But now we've went on a huge tangent.
Yeah.
But it's still related. This is horror month. This is spooky season.
Talking about horror movies from the last few years.
Yeah. So we're, it's a tangent, but it works.
So maybe you can come check out some of these movies we have.
Yeah. We have a lot of them.
Our horror collection has definitely improved since I've been curating our movies.
Well, I think a good bit of us are fans of horror movies here, so we are okay with purchasing more.
Yes.
And we have a lot of people that like to come in and watch them, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely check out our collection. Our collection's amazing. So, I know you said the first death of the one girl.
Yeah. Where they're not sure if it's real or not.
Probably your favorite scene.
Yeah, I would say that's the one scene that was like, oh, yeah, that kind of hits.
So, I mean, aesthetically, that would be, I mean, you know, I don't know. Just
it was,
would that be your favorite scene out of the movie?
Yeah, that's probably my favorite scene. Okay. That in the end with the guy going back to his little boy and that.
Oh, the little daughter.
Yeah. Or the daughter, sorry. Yeah. Those two scenes would be like the things that stick in my mind.
Yeah.
As far as like, you know, the movie, like it's shot, like nothing, I don't know.
There's nothing special.
I mean, not to, you know, making a movie's hard.
Right.
And especially kind of a low-budget movie. But it's just one of those where they just kind of like, you know, the camera is there and they talk.
Right.
It's nothing particular, like the sequences are like elaborately designed.
Right. Which I think this kind of movie doesn't need that. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's made to be something like that either.
I mean, not necessarily, but like I think suspense sequences benefit from, so suspense and comedy kind of go hand in hand. Like you have, it's like a roller coaster. You have to go up and down. It can't just be like up here all the time with laughs or scares. Like you have to go up and down.
Right, that's true.
And when you have like something like the way like De Palma designed the sequence in like Dress to Kill or something, the scene in the museum at the beginning, which you've never seen. But it's an elaborate scene. It's like it tells a story just through visuals and how you're and movement and how it builds suspense and then you come back down and then it,
right.
I mean, I think just a lot of people just don't make movies like that anymore. There's not as much care put into those sort of sequences. So it kind of leaves me kind of cold. I mean, like I said, it's hard to make a movie, but I feel like if you're really going to do it, you should really go all out and try to do as much as you can to tell the story visually. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing really wrong with the way the movie looks or anything.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything like tons of shaky cam or anything like that. It was just sort of.
Right. That's true.
You know, just kind of there.
Yeah.
It's like it got the job done. Yeah. And that's okay sometimes.
I agree. The first kill is one of those. It's kind of intense because it does make you think.
And it's not like some elaborate trap or anything.
Right.
I like that it's just a girl getting stabbed.
Yeah. 100%.
And that, because it seemed like that's what would happen. It wouldn't be like trap or some, you know, it would just be like a guy who wanted to kill someone and just walk in there and kill someone.
Yeah. And that's basically what he does.
Yeah.
Of course, we talked about the needle in the eye. That was a little intense for me.
Yeah.
The movie in whole is kind of intense for me. I don't remember. I guess I just didn't remember how intense it kind of made me feel. But like I said, that goes back to me not really liking jump scares and haunted houses, I think. So I did find it, you know, kind of intense in parts. But and then the, like you said, the guy going back to his daughter at the end, that really brings in this
randomness, like, of
randomness, but also like a creep factor in the fact that his daughter knew he was out and he's just out murdering people.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me, what it reminded me of was, I think his name's Dylan Baker in Trick or Treat, mm-hmm. the dad that goes out and like puts the vampire teeth in and like tries to kill people, you know, tries to kill the girl and goes back to his son and, you know, they have the head of the boy that was eaten.
Right.
You know, it's that's kind of what that reminded me of.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, so, I didn't even think
that. That was cool, but.
Another great movie I like.
Yeah, Trick or Treat's amazing.
There is that creep factor where it's just this man lives a normal life other than when Hellfest is around.
Yeah, I mean, you don't, that's the thing. It's like you don't know who's a murderer.
Right. He has that little cabinet with his treasures.
And honestly, that's like the creepiest part of the movie. It's just,
right.
You don't.
Well, I think that's supposed to be the creepy part.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the most unsettling.
It's just fun, and then but it's creepy at the same time. That's why I really like it.
Yeah.
I like a fun movie.
Yeah. It was okay.
Yeah. Well, okay, it's not horrible.
So. Oh, okay. I mean, it's not Coyote
still,
Ugly.
That's what I was going to say. Still okay.
Coyote Ugly is still bottom of the barrel.
I like how that's our basis.
Yeah.
It's just like Coyote Ugly, which is a great movie, but you don't like it. And then everything is rated compared to that.
Yeah.
All right. So that brings us to the end of our discussion about Hellfest.
Mm-hmm.
You somewhat liked it.
Okay.
We're going to break for a few messages about the library, and then we'll discuss Silence of the Lambs.
We will.
Yes. All right, guys. So at the library, we have some things going on for the month of October. Monday, the 17th, we will be doing our 90s trivia. So dress up 90s and come do a trivia night with us. We expect it to be a pretty fun time. And also on Halloween will be when our book club meets. If you haven't got the book, you can still come get it. It is Monday the 31st at 6 p.m. And the book they are reading is The Hacienda. So once again, if you haven't picked up your copy, you can come and get a copy of that. And then, Josh, I think you have a few announcements.
Yeah. On Friday, October 21st at 5:30, we're going to have our Real Readers Teen Club, where we're going to watch and talk about the Iron Giant film from 1999. On Tuesday, October 25th at 6:30, we're going to have our Time Out Together program. We're going to have a costume party. There's going to be crafts and some story time. It'll be a lot of fun. And then on Friday, October 28th, we're going to have our Crystal Lake Halloween party, where you're welcome to come get your picture taken with Jason Voorhees.
Okay, so all of those should be good events. As always, keep up with us on Facebook and, I don't know, Instagram and all the social media to find out about more events coming soon to the library. All right. So we're going to discuss Silence of the Lambs now.
Silence of the Lambs, son.
Give us why you chose Silence of the Lambs.
Why I chose Silence of the Lambs. For one thing, you're a serial killer nerd and you've never seen Silence of the Lambs.
True.
This is a slight that has to be remedied as soon as possible. Because it's just an amazing film. Like, it's like, there's one of those, like, you have to see before you die. It's like The Godfather. It's a classic in every sense of the word for a really good reason. I saw it. It's probably my dad's favorite movie, so we watched it a lot.
Yeah,
when I was like 9.
All right.
So it's been a part of my life for a long time.
Yeah.
The book is fantastic too. If you never read the book,
I have not.
Red Dragon, though, like the one that takes place before this, is, I can't think of like a better, like a thriller kind of book, suspenseful book. Than that. It's really, really terrific. The series, which they made that into a movie called Manhunter. which is okay. It kind of messes up the book. But the Hannibal, the TV series mm-hmm. with Mads Mikkelsen, it's probably the best, like, if you just want to take the book, that's the best, like, adaptation of the characters. Okay. But anyway, back to Silence of the Lambs. Sorry.
Yes.
Nerding out on Hannibal. I mean, like, just in every category, the acting, directing, how they, the scoring, like, it's a, there's a perfect movie. There's nothing that I would change. It's so quotable, so memorable. I love it to death. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. You said quotable. Funny story. I sometimes quote this movie.
That you have never seen?
That I've never seen.
Well, I mean,
like, and people be, and that's one of those things, like, you know, you wear a t-shirt of a band you don't know, and they're like, oh, yeah, that song. And you're like, I don't know that. And like, no, I'm just like making noises from this movie and saying things from this movie. And people's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, no, I've never seen it.
Let me guess, they're all the James Gum, like the Buffalo Bill lines.
Stuff like that. also just like, hello, Clarice. And I don't know why I say that.
Hello, Clarice.
Yeah. And like, I've said that for years. I don't even know how I knew about
so,
that.
Like, the movie is so ingrained in pop culture.
Yeah. That's what, I mean, I must have seen it somewhere.
Yeah.
Or like the noise that he makes, the little like.
Yeah.
I do noises sometimes.
I think he took that from Bela Lugosi and Dracula.
I think I also read that it was not planned.
No, yeah. So there's a lot of little things that they did.
Yeah.
Especially Anthony Hopkins that were not really. Yeah, not really planned.
So the line is actually not hello, Clarice.
No, I know.
It's
one I made up, I guess.
No, it's one of those like famously like misquote things. Oh, well, like, Luke, I am your father. I am your father. Yeah.
But that is I am your father. He does say, I am your father.
I think he says, no.
Well, he says,
Yeah. Instead, Luke, I am your father, which is the thing that gets quoted all the time.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Gotcha. But
anyway, in the third movie, which is not very good.
Oh, the 2001 movie.
The 2001 movie.
I like that movie.
He does say, hello, Clarice. I mean, I just mean like the caliber between Red Dragon and then.
It's not as good as Silence of the Lambs, but
yeah.
It's better than Red Dragon, like the movie.
Oh, I like Red Dragon.
I like, there's like part, because I'm such a big fan of the Red Dragon book. Mm-hmm. Like, so the thing I love about Manhunter is William Peterson's terrific. I like Brian Cox. I like his take on Hannibal, but they completely screw up Dollarhyde, the killer. That's not how he is in the book at all. And then Red Dragon, it's like the inverse. Like, I love Ralph Fiennes as Dollarhyde. I love him and Emily Watson. They are amazing. I could watch them together all day. And like, everything else is just kind of serviceable. And they elevate the Hannibal role too much. Like, he's too boisterous and over the top. And also, he's like 20 years older than he was in. it doesn't work. I don't care how much makeup, it doesn't work. Sorry, that was Red Dragon.
Oh, no, you're fine. No, but where I was going with, where we were talking about Anthony Hopkins improvising things, I did read that he also improvised when they're first meeting, and mocks her Southern accent, Jodie Foster's accent, and her like horrified reaction was real because she was kind of offended. It was not planned, but later she thanked him for it because it made such a good scene.
And originally, when she first comes down to the, I love the descent into the dungeon. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Like the way they do the red lights and everything. It's oh my God.
So, well done. So I guess, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, when she's walking by all the cells and they get mm-hmm. and she gets to Hannibal. And so originally, I think in the script, he was just like laying on the bed or something. But when she walks by and the camera's just panning, and it's just him standing there staring at you. Like, he knows you're there.
Yeah.
And he's just waiting.
Right.
It's so creepy. I love
that. Yeah. And that's another thing I did read is.
That was not in the script. It was just kind of what they came, Hopkins came up with. Yeah.
Well, I read something about he thought it was a good idea. It seemed like he had a good bit of input in this movie and his ideas were used and they worked out.
Yeah.
But one of them was that Hannibal, anytime the camera panned on him, he should look straight into the camera. Well, something to be like an all-knowing type and creepy type thing.
Well, Jonathan Demme, that's one of his techniques that he uses in this. And then he uses it a lot in Philadelphia as well, his next movie. But he'll shoot dialogue scenes straight on. So it's very intimate. Like, it's just the camera placed right here looking straight at you. It just cuts back and forth to these two people having a conversation, staring straight in the camera. I think that's what gives those interactions especially a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Like, and like, you're, because it's just, especially if you see it on the big screen and, you know, they're 30 feet wide, and it's just like somebody's face. And that's the greatest special effect, is someone's face and their eyes. And seeing that that big and like huge close up, and then just that's the whole dialogue scene.
Yeah.
He does that exceptionally well in this and Philadelphia.
I saw that he also, in this one, they wanted to really make you feel for Clarice. Mm-hmm. So when anybody was talking to her, they would be 100% straight on. Mm-hmm. But when it was like her dialogues and it was like her talking to them, it would be a little more angled.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
That way, it was almost like you were getting her point of view.
Yeah,
no, exactly.
I see that now.
Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I can see that.
And that was smart because you definitely do feel for her. And
yeah.
You can kind of put yourself in her shoes.
She's a very strong character, like very, it's an important film for a woman character, for female.
Yeah. I mean, that was a big deal anyways, but also it is in the movie for her character, a big deal that she's a woman going down and doing
like,
this.
It's like when they go to the small town where they found the woman in the river, and he has to
West Virginia,
which is actually, I think it's Pennsylvania where they show
it. But I mean,
it's supposed to be Elk River, West Virginia.
Elk River, yeah. They wanted to kick her out.
And Crawford has to, like, you know, baby the local cops into, you know. They do that really well, like, when she's just standing there among all the other cops and just looking like a small child, like, very uncomfortable. Right. And the way they play up that element, it's really well done.
Yeah. I definitely thought so.
It kind of gets, like, mythological to a certain degree. Like, she has to descend into the dungeon at the end and slay the dragon.
You know,
in the dark with no real equipment or, you know.
It's true.
I mean, there's just there's a lot of levels to the movie that it just works.
Yeah. So I guess it would be a good time to say this since I haven't discussed it yet. I liked this movie.
Yeah.
Jumped into just some facts, but it worked. We had to.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy it. I watched it with my friend, Tiffany. It's her favorite movie. So it was cool to watch. Like a movie that was her favorite, and she told me ahead of time, I'm going to like this movie. Like you did.
I can't see how you're not going to like this movie.
Yeah. And I definitely did. It's a fun movie.
It's a fun movie.
It's a fun movie. I like a serial killer movie. And
this is like the cream of the crop, man.
Yeah.
It is better than this.
And Anthony Hopkins, man, he delivers such a creepy performance.
Yeah.
It's perfect. But I enjoyed it. There wasn't anything that moved too slow or anything. It's a slow movie, but it's supposed to be. It's like an intense movie.
Yeah, it's like a psychological thriller. Right. Like, it's not really action heavy or anything. It's all the intensity of the performances and the acting is what's really driving it. And I love how daring it is, too, especially in 91.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite, I don't know, there's a lot of favorite moments, but like one of my favorite sequences is the Lecter escape. When he escapes, and just for them to like kind of stop the movie and have this, I don't know, 10-minute sequence where none of the main characters are there.
Yeah.
Clarice has gone off. You know, Lecter's beaten up the cops or killed the cops, you know, but you're like, how does he get how does this happen? Like, you know, how's he getting out of here? And like the way they play that is just with these cop characters, who one of them is Chris Isaac randomly.
I don't know.
A friend. You know who Chris Isaac is?
I don't know.
Okay.
No?
Well, he's a famous singer he was very famous at the time. He's been in a few movies too. I think he was a friend of Jonathan Demme's.
Oh, okay.
And just the way they cut away from everything and just have this little mini movie. I love that whole section. And then it ends with him ripping the face of the cop off his face. And it's like, I still get excited just thinking about it.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Oh man, it's such a good movie.
Because then you have they think he's in the elevator.
They think he's in on top of the elevator.
And they shoot him and he's not moving. So they're like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
And then you see him fall in, but you don't see, you kind of see the reaction, but it doesn't give away yet.
Yeah,
that
the way
he's
they kinda,
not him.
The way he falls is you don't see the face.
Right.
And the face goes towards the back of the
so
elevator.
So it's still.
And
like,
then they cut to the
ambulance. Review.
See, this is one of those movies I've seen so many times. I could see this. They cut to I think the sirens or the hood of the ambulance, and then it cuts inside. Mm-hmm. And they're putting that. Yeah. So anyway, that whole sequence is. I just love that scene. I mean, I love everything about the movie. The score is amazing, and the way Howard Shore sets the movie. Which he also did the score for Seven too.
Oh, okay.
So there's very heavy.
Right.
A weight to the score.
It just adds to the intensity.
Yeah. And then they know when to cut it. Like, there's no score in the dialogue scenes. And and I don't think, I mean, like, you know, rightfully, the movie won. It's one of only, I think, three other movies to win Oscars for the main three awards, which picture, director, actor, actress, and screenplay.
Okay.
The other two are all about Eve and One Floor of the Cuckoo's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
But Ted Levine does not get enough love. who plays James Gunn, Buffalo Bill.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's so...
Yeah, it was good. It was
good. And I love how they've wrapped so many different serial killers into him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a little bit of Ed Gein.
Right.
He's a little bit of, I think, a little bit of Dahmer, a little bit of, forget which one used to, like, he would, like, what he does with the girl in the van where he's, mm-hmm. like, faking that he's injured.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember who did that. Well, did Bundy do that?
I was going to say, Bundy, I know he would pretend to, like, things were wrong. Like, maybe he was broke down or
So they took kind of
something like that.
They took that from Bundy.
Yeah.
So he's kind of an amalgam of all these different serial killers.
Yeah. He played it well.
And it's all like, it all feels authentic. Like, I mean, I don't know. It seems like that's happened.
Right.
You know?
And that is something I liked about this movie is it, like I said, it was intense and the dialogue was good. And it just felt like this good hunt for a serial killer. And I mean, I enjoy the real ones, but it just, you felt like it.
It draws you in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You felt like you were really on this hunt.
Yeah.
Not that you were just watching a movie about something.
Yeah. Well,
you
know what I'm saying? I mean,
it almost brought like a nonfiction feeling to it in a way.
Yeah, it's a procedural. So it feels authentic, especially to the period.
Yeah.
But there's also so much of the character work is so rich mm-hmm. that it really draws you in even more. Because a procedural is mostly going to deal with just, you know, suspense and how it moves and how it builds, but all the stuff like the character work with Clarice and her childhood and the Lambs and their father, and that always just informs the rest of it and elevates the whole movie.
Yeah, and I think some of it just seeming to bring in that nonfiction feeling a little bit, or making it very interesting, that pulls you in. I think some of it also comes from, there was a lot of research done. Anthony Hopkins went and studied serial killers and even went to some court cases of murders and watched them.
Well, John Douglas, who was, I think he was head of the behavioral crime unit in the 70s at the FBI. He was an informer. He's actually in the movie. Forget where. He has a small part, like just like, he's like one of the instructors, I think, at the academy. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was going to hit on is they had help from the FBI when they were doing it.
Yeah, John Douglas was pretty involved with it.
Yeah, the real-life FBI's behavioral science unit assisted in making other movies.
So, I mean, it all
so
feels...
So it brings in that realistic.
Like, the stuff at the academy feels authentic, like when she's training at the beginning. And, you know, they hit on a lot of the women in that field kind of things in the beginning. And one of my favorite things is the end, where he's on the phone with Clarice, and she's graduating, and... You know, he's like, I'm going to have an old friend for dinner.
Yeah.
And that's the doctor.
How are you?
Chilton.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hang up. He just lets the phone go or whatever. And she's going, Lecter or doctor or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And then it just has this slow crane pull away shot. Where he's just following him. And that ending has always stuck with me. Like, because it lets you fill in what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite. I don't know why. I just feel like that's one of my favorite moments in the movie.
Well, I think we've talked about those kind of endings before. And it's one of those where it ends, but it doesn't.
Yeah. You can see the movie going.
You could. But at the same time, like, it's good the way it is.
Yeah. So I wouldn't want like a definitive ending.
Right.
I want Hannibal to be out there in the wild.
Right.
You know.
And it just works for this movie.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I like is that. And they play on it even more in Hannibal, the next movie, is despite their differences, like Clarice and Hannibal, they are very similar. They're both incorruptible.
Right.
They are who they are.
Right.
One of them just happens to eat people.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, they don't quite belong in a polite society to a certain degree.
And I think that's
fit in, you know.
Right. And that helps to build their relationship.
Yeah, because it is like.
Because they do have like a connection.
Yeah, it's not like a romantic connection, but it's like, I don't know what
he was also protective of her.
Yeah. And it's like
with the guy in the cell next door.
Yeah.
You know, he does things to her as she's walking and then
he apologizes.
He makes him eat his own tongue.
Yeah. I love that you don't see anything, but just the thought of that.
Right.
That he talked him just with his words.
Right.
To eating his own tongue.
Right.
That was one of the creepiest parts of the movie when I was a kid. Yeah. It was just like that idea that you can talk someone to eat their own tongue. Ugh.
Yeah.
But that's really the heart of the movie is that connection
mm-hmm.
and how weird and beautiful it is.
That's what I was going to say. It does pull you into that connection as well. And it's not, it doesn't necessarily make you feel bad for Hannibal, but.
No, he's not like a sympathetic, like,
no,
woe is me.
But at the same time, like, I don't know. It gives you some sort of feeling for him. Like, there's, because you fall into that connection between them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's very well done. And
it pulls you in.
It's an odd relationship or connection in some sort of way for a movie like this. But it works because that's exactly why he's okay to talk to her and he helps her. And
yeah, that's why they form this bond.
Yeah.
You know, and they trust each other.
Right.
To a certain extent, you know, especially once she opens up about, you know, the lambs. Her stuff, you know, toward in their last interaction, you know, before he escapes. I love the. What they do with like the editing and everything with like towards the end when they're playing with which house she's at.
Yeah.
Which house
that's really good.
The cops are at.
It's like you hear the doorbell.
And you see Buffalo Bill in the basement and he's got the siren and it goes up. Oh my God. I can't imagine like seeing that like opening day and be like, oh, you know, they're really
because you don't know which house is which.
Yeah.
And turns out they're at two different houses.
Because they don't lead on that one of them's at the wrong house, really.
Right. No, you don't really know that she's anywhere.
Yeah.
You know the other people are going.
The cops are like, have their whole like little flower truck or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that's happening.
Yeah.
So it's a good surprise.
And then he opens the door and it's Clarice and you're like, oh man, this is bad.
Yeah.
Oh man. And I love his whole, the dungeon, like his basement. It's like.
And he has like that well.
And it's like the movie's been very flat and straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, aside from maybe Hannibal's another dungeon. Like female character has to go into the bowels of you know
this
the jail, and then Buffalo Bill's basement. You know.
Right.
But I love how elaborately designed everything. It's like almost it's very theatrical and bigger than life.
Yeah.
When it needs to be, and otherwise it's very concentrated and
simple in a way.
Yeah, and it's just straightforward. Yeah. You know? The Hannibal series is really good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. They do a really great job with what you're talking about, where they build the connection between Will Graham and Hannibal and that. Because you know the whole time, obviously, that this is Hannibal Lecter and he is a, you know, remorseless psychopath. Yeah. And like, it's Will Graham's mentor. It's like the person he goes to because he's a crime scene investigator that investigates psychopaths.
And he has like this heavy, like, empathetic mind where he's able to like see the crime. Like he can look at the crime scene and just kind of put things together, you know.
It's like he enters the mind of the killer is like kind of how he works. So Mads Mikkelsen is a great Hannibal actor. He's,
I mean, I love Anthony Hopkins, but if I was looking just at Hannibal from the books, it's Mads Mikkelsen. He does an amazing job. It's like Anthony Hopkins is almost separate.
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion of where I said he does a great job,
I mean,
I'm looking at more of he made a good serial killer.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the character from the book, but as a serial killer, he was creepy.
He's amazing in the movie. He's iconic, and you can't really, it's hard to really see anybody else as Hannibal Lecter, but Mads Mikkelsen is really, really stellar. And the whole, I mean,
there's something arresting with like Mads Mikkelsen's portrayal of Hannibal
because
he's like the height of society.
Yeah.
And
it's like he has an elegance and like his voice and its cadence is very, I mean, he's very like calm and centered in the show. And it's like, that is unsettling that this man is going to eat you. It's calm and unsettling. It's And then Hugh Dancy. I think he plays Will Graham. He's great. And like Gillian Anderson's in the show, which always elevates anything.
Gillian Anderson obviously plays Scully in X-Files.
Yeah.
And Scully's based on Clarice.
Yeah.
And so then when she comes in the show, she is Hannibal's therapist.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's pretty cool.
And so it's really neat for her to like basically be, you know, because the Hannibal show is a prequel.
Like a full circle thing.
It's like she's playing herself, but in the past. It's very weird.
It's
like,
really cool.
It's really neat.
That's a great show. You should watch it. And it gets like really trippy with all the imagery.
And it's a TV show, not a movie. So
It's a TV show. So you can watch.
Like.
So you can watch, you know, 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Instead of watching a 2-hour movie.
Right. Because that makes sense, of course.
But it's really good. You should watch it.
I'd like to jump in with more time because it bothers me. But Jodie Foster does not do a West Virginian accent.
I mean, I never had an issue with the accent.
Was she supposed to be from West Virginia?
Yeah.
She's supposed to be from West Virginia. Yeah.
She does a Southern accent.
It's depending on where you are in West Virginia.
I guess that's true too. But it's
I mean, she's clearly from like this little small town. I personally have never had, I know people have had issues with her accent. And
I don't.
It didn't bother me. And looking back, because I also may have just not realized she was supposed to be from West Virginia.
I think having been from the South and having been both places, maybe. It bothers me when people conflate the accents because they're not the same.
Yeah, but I don't hear a deep Southern accent.
I didn't either.
I hear a very
small town.
Yeah, very like monotone and like flat kind of way she draws out certain words. It doesn't seem like a... Man, I can't do a Southern accent, but like, you know, the
real drawn out.
Go for it, Toby.
Well, I can do a Southern accent.
See, that's a Southern accent.
I don't feel like it's
Well, it's not like that, but it's also not.
It's not as like hers isn't as like soft as that.
Yeah.
It's like more hard, mm-hmm. like flat harsh, Appalachian. Flat.
Yeah, it doesn't. The thing is it doesn't read Appalachian to me either. Okay. It reads like small. And so the Southern accent you often get in shows and stuff is like the higher class Southern accent. Yeah. You don't get like the, you know, grew up in a mill town kind of Southern accent, which is more of what Jodie Foster does there, I think, which isn't that removed from an Appalachian accent, but it's not right.
Yeah, but I mean, the Appalachian accent, I think, is a span. Like,
it's not as specific as a Southern, right? Yeah. Like a Georgian accent or something.
Now, like, people from not here, Toby, mm-hmm. tend to think we do only talk one way. But looking back at it, knowing that that's what it's supposed to be, it doesn't bother me. I think her accent was fine.
I've never had an issue with it.
I don't know.
And I think Julianne Moore did a good job with her accent in Hannibal as well in the movie.
I do know her accent. At first, I was like, is she always talk like that? But, I mean, as far as it being Southern or not Southern, I don't think it was fine.
I mean, I've known people that talk like that in West Virginia.
Right.
Like, have that. I mean, I don't know how you describe it, but.
Yeah, it's just a little more drawly, which might be like that this is where, you know, this is the part of West Virginia I've lived in.
Right. That's what I was saying. I mean, it's like, not a mudsuck accent.
No.
That's for sure.
But.
I think it's decent.
To me, it just doesn't.
Travel West Virginia more.
Since we're on accents, like, it's actually a big part of the movie. Her accent and Hannibal's accent, like, it's not like a European accent, but it has this weird cadence to it. Mm-hmm. His voice that gives it like a more refined mm-hmm. stature, and then Ted Levine's voice as Buffalo Bill is just like, put the lotion in the basket, you know. Mm-hmm. It's
well,
his voice. I love his voice. I don't think he's doing like a huge accent. He just mm-hmm. naturally has that kind of like deep voice. But I could listen to him all day. I love listening to him.
Well, talking about Anthony Hopkins' cadence and his accent. Yeah. One of his inspirations was the interpretation of Dr. Hannibal Lecter was a friend of his in London. Mm-hmm. Who also rarely blinked when speaking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's definitely a thing.
People.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you said it wasn't exactly a British accent, but it had, like, a cadence. So maybe that's part of it as well.
There's all the elements to add to, like,
right.
You know, because he really doesn't blink in, like, those tight close-ups. Yeah, he doesn't hardly ever.
That'd be hard.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think there was so much good about this movie, including, like I said, the research that he did. And I think the accents were okay. Now, you want a Southern accent, you watch Crossroads.
Crossroads.
They will.
They have Southern accents.
They will.
But
I just had to get it in there.
Yeah, I know, right? That was a tough one to get in.
But, no, sorry. What's your favorite horror movie that features a serial killer besides this one?
Oh, okay.
This is an
like movie, not series.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think. Yeah. Like, not a series.
So you got like...
Like a theatrical movie?
I mean, it has to be a movie.
Because you got to remember, I don't really watch them.
Seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Seven was really good. Oh, I like Murder by Numbers. Is that serial killer-ish?
The Sandra Bullock movie?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Why are you mentioning that movie in like the vein of Silence of the Lambs and Seven?
Well, I thought it was really good.
I mean, it's a serial killer movie. Fair enough.
There's another one I'm trying to think of. It's also a cop hunting somebody down. They're hunting a serial killer.
Bone Collector.
It might be.
With Angelina Jolie and Denzel Washington. And he's like in a...
Oh, that's it.
He's in a, in a hospital. Old, though. Yeah, it's like 2001.
Yes.
He's in a hospital. And helping her.
Yes, that one. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I saw that one.
It's amazing.
I think, I mean, the casting for serial killers, they've been doing really good. Surprisingly, like Zac Efron did Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
And if you go watch Side by Sides, like, it's good.
Yeah.
It like, he did a great job. Then you had... I think his last name's Lynch. That did My Friend Dahmer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was great.
Like, he was great for that period of Dahmer's life. Yeah. Then you have...
Evan Peters,
that's doing Dahmer. And then the guy that played Gacy in the Dahmer TV show, the new one.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's that little bit about...
I haven't watched it.
So there's a little bit about Gacy in there because he's like, Dahmer's watching the news about Gacy.
Yeah.
And the guy that played Gacy was, like, really good.
Was he?
So they've done some really good casting as far when it comes to serial killers.
There's so much, like, material to draw on
from
these people.
Well, you just have to have the right people for it to really draw you in.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, interview and stuff that they can really, like, to get the voice or the mannerisms. I'll Be Gone in the Dark's really good, too, if you never watched that or read the book. The book's really good, too.
Yeah, I need to do that as well. That's Golden State.
That's right. The Golden State, yeah.
But yeah, casting is important.
Yeah.
And I think they've been doing really good with that. And that goes back to Silence of Lambs. Great casting.
Yeah, Ted Levine's amazing as Buffalo Bill.
Very good.
And Hannibal, you know. I mean, Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
Whole movie's amazing. I like Scott Glenn a lot as Crawford, you know. I mean, he kind of is like, not really like chauvinist or anything, but that's just the culture.
Right, you know? Yeah.
And... But he is protective of Starling. He doesn't probably overly protective to a certain degree that kind of limits her just to a certain degree. But then he's also giving her the opportunity to interview Hannibal. So there's a lot of gray area there. But I always like seeing Scott Glenn in movies. I just always liked him.
Yeah.
And I like him as Crawford.
I think the movie did a good job of that, of capturing how it is for women in that field, and especially back then. I don't know that it's a whole lot better now, but I know, you know, back then it definitely wasn't.
Yeah.
And they do a good job of portraying that, and that all plays into the movie and feeling for her. And
yeah, then she does this all. She puts it together, I mean, with Hannibal's help, but a lot of it, you know, she slays the dragon.
Oh, 100%, you know? Yeah.
And there's just all these little parts, like the guy who plays Dr. Chilton, Anthony Heath, and Barney, who shows up in Hannibal, the movie. And it's all these little bit parts, you know. Yeah. Even the guys that, like, when they bring him into the airplane hangar, you know, I forget her name, that plays the senator's wife, and the guys that play Krenzler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those little bit parts. I don't know why. I mean, it was just because I've seen the movie a million times, but they're very memorable to me. You know.
Well, that says something.
Yeah.
That even the little parts are memorable in this movie.
Yeah.
So I guess that brings us to the end of Silence of the Lambs and every other tangent discussion we went on for this podcast. But next time we're going to be doing something a little different. We're going to shake it up again. We're going to have a guest, Travis, who works front desk, will be on the podcast next time with us. And it's because we haven't seen the movie that you want to pick.
Well, that neither of you have ever seen a James Bond movie.
Right. That is true.
And to me, November is always, because mostly the last like 27 years or so, Bond movies come out in November.
Oh, okay.
Most of them, except for like the last one. So November is Bond month to me.
Okay.
And neither one of you have seen a Bond movie.
Have not.
Can't. And so I picked Casino Royale for you two to watch, which is...
Not one of the old ones.
Not one of the old ones. The first Daniel Craig movie. It's probably the best movie, best James Bond movie. Like
ever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like my personal favorite's Honor Majesty's Secret Service, but Casino Royale is like...
Okay.
Like just a hair below.
Awesome.
So you can't go wrong with it.
Okay. And then Travis and I have picked a movie for you, and it is from the 90s. I think it's the 90s.
It's like right at the 90, probably.
You weren't supposed to tell him beforehand.
He found it out on his own.
I figured it out. Well, I remember them telling me a couple weeks ago.
Y'all are no fun.
Here's the thing. We searched to find the DVD, and then he found our search.
No fun. You're
but
both
anyways.
Fired. I'm going to find new host.
Good luck. But anyways,
good luck catching lightning in a bottle.
Right. Exactly. But we chose Brain Scan for you. So it's like a little horror-ish movie.
It looks interesting. I've never seen it. So yeah. I remember always seeing the VHS cover.
That movie, I just remember it being... I didn't really watch like horror movies when I was young, but I did watch that and I remember loving it. And then I remember for years trying to remember the name. And for some reason, at one point, I could never find it on Google. And I would ask people who were like movie buffs and I'd describe it and they'd be like, I've never heard of that. And I'm like, no, it's a great movie. So for years, it was so elusive. And then I don't know, maybe I got better at Googling, but I've now found it again. So.
Okay,
I'm also excited to watch it and see if I still like it.
Yeah, because you might hate it now.
So that's going to be fun.
Probably not.
But that is next time on, it'll be November 1st that podcast will come out. So we'll be doing Bond Month, I guess, for November.
Bond and Brain Scan.
Yes. So join us for that next podcast. So yeah, watch those movies ahead of time and then join us for the discussion as always.
Yeah.
But until next time, I'm Aaron.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Real Opposites.